Holy Family Radio, and the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference now present Catholic Legislative Talk with Al Ganoza.
Hello again, everybody. Great to talk with you again. Big difference in the weather from last time. Last time it was snowing, I remember, and it was, well, it got cold for a couple days, but the last few days it feels like spring. Maybe that's a sign of good things to come for all of us, including from the Catholic perspective. By the way, just a preview of what we have coming up in the second 15 minutes. Remember, the show runs for a half hour every week. I have an interview with Seth Grove, representative from York County, Republican. Good guy, good friend of ours. He talks about some of his current efforts, including the human trafficking bill that he introduced along with Senator Kristen Phillips Hill last month. If you want to find out more about that, well, we'll have some more about that, but we also have that on our Facebook page and our web page, too, which if you ever want to go to, it's pacatholicconference.org, O-R-G. Well, I'll give you an update of what we have been looking at the Capitol. The legislative session that we started last month is still fairly new, and the governor gave his budget address on Tuesday. And we can say that we are disappointed with the governor's budget, because there is not the historical parity seen in educational spending. The governor has proposed an increase for public school students, of course, but level funds the two line items for private school students. That means, I guess they're unchanged, which is not good. Not good for Catholic schools. In PA school code, which is hundreds of pages, there are two line items for private school students. Two line items. This is from our education director, Sean McAleer. Does a great job over there at the Capitol. A lot of experience. Good guy, good personality. And Sean says they first line item is textbooks, and they're secular in nature and approved by the Pennsylvania Department of Education. The second one, he says, is auxiliary services that assist students with special needs. Both of these line items have been level funded for 4 years. Thank you. Thank you, folks. Thank you, Governor. Well, the private school students deserve better, Sean says, and I think you all agree. No, I agree. I've sent my kids to public school. I could have used some help. Or private school, Catholic school, I could have used some help. If the public school students receive an increase in their state appropriated funds, then private school students should receive the same increase. Why are public schools more special than private schools? In fact, a lot of times, private schools, we're the ones who had to pay. Give us a little break. Now, there is still a long way to go. This just started. The preliminary budgets go through a lot of changes, and the governor is a Democrat. House and Senate are controlled by Republicans. And you see how they have blown through budgets in the past. excuse me. It's been taking a while. In fact, very seldom do they actually make the deadline. There are a lot of lawmakers who support Catholic education. One of those is Senator Tom Killian out of the Chester County area. I interviewed Senator Killian a couple of weeks ago while touring a Catholic school in Westchester with St. Peter and Paul, principaled by Margaret Egan. What a great teacher. I have a profile on her on our website. She's been in Catholic education for 50 years. God bless that woman. Taught for over 30 years, was a principal for 18. Just does a great job there. What enthusiasm. Anyway, sorry, I digress. Had to mention Margaret there. Anyway, excuse me again. Senator Killian, big supporter of the earned income tax credit. That's where someone applies to the state to say, hey, I'd like to give such and such dollars to such and such school. Now, it has benefited all schools, but Catholic schools have really gotten a boost from this. In fact, when I was over at Saints Peter and Paul, they said they were getting hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it had benefited 63 kids that were currently students there. 63 kids that might not have been able to go there were it not for that program. That's the EITC. Now, that would have hurt the kids, too, if they would have had to go back to a school they didn't want to go to, but it would also have hurt the Catholic school, because that would have been 63 less students. The school might have had to raise tuition to bridge the difference, and in the meantime, with that higher tuition, a lot more students might not be able to afford it. They would have had to leave the school, and it's just the domino effect, and this is what hurts Catholic schools. So this is why we need this EITC, and this is why we need funding for Catholic schools. But there is work being done in the state Senate as we speak to boost the EITC program. This week, Senator Mike Regan of Cumberland County, Republican, introduced a co-sponsorship memo seeking support for legislation that would put an automatic escalator in the EITC and OSTC programs. The programs would increase 25% each year that 90% of the tax credits are allocated. If the bill passes, it would increase the EITC by $40 million, bringing the total allocation to $200 million. It would increase the OSTC by $12.5 million, bringing the total allocation to $62.5 million. Now, you can definitely count Senator Killian supporting that. He told me during that tour he'd be looking to boost it by $25 million to $50 million, and he says that has bipartisan support. It's not an R&D issue, Republican to Democrat. Senator Killian went to Catholic school, graduate of Cardinal O'Hara School in the Delaware County area of the Great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Now, please reach out to your state senators whenever you can, state senators, and ask them to support this co-sponsorship on the bill. I'm going to read the memo that they sent out. This is from Senator Regan. He says, please reach out to your state senators, ask them to support and sign onto the co-sponsorship of this bill. That reminds me to mention again our Voter Voice Advocacy Program. Many of you are already a part of that. But if you aren't, please go to our website. That is PA Catholic Conference and sign up. I think it's easy. And I'm a doofus on the internet and the website. Sometimes it's hard for me to control the website, but signing up seems easy. We will send you alerts then when there is legislation that we could use your help to contact your rep or senator. And then what you're saying, hey, I would like to do that, but I don't know who the representative or senator is. Well, the website that we subscribe to, they actually find this out for you. Just punch in your information, your address, and they do the legwork. And then when we have an update, we send it out, and they send it right to you, and everything is written. All you have to do is push a couple buttons, and it goes to the legislator. All right, so anyway, okay, that's what are we doing here? All right, that was our EITC program. All right, there's been a lot of talk around the country, as you probably very well know, about abortion, especially after that disgusting law in New York State. Now, I would rail on it, but so many people in higher positions than me have stated their disgust on this, I hate to even call it, well, it is a law, but. Now, I got great reaction on social media pages, our social media pages, when I pose a reaction from local and national officials, including this statement from PA Speaker of the House, Mike Terzai, who, like myself, is a fellow Notre Dame graduate. Just throwing that in there. Notre Dame Catholic School, by the way. He said in a statement, New York's new abortion on demand law should be appalling to anyone. The new law signed by New York Governor Andrew Cuomo actually allows for the murder of babies right up until moments before birth. In 2013, Terzak continues, Dr. Kermit Gosnell, remember him, was appropriately convicted under PA law in Philadelphia of 21 counts of felony late-term abortion, among other charges. Most Pennsylvanians, Terzak continued, recognize the dignity of every person, including the unborn, hoping at minimum to reduce the number of abortions, not expand them. We are committed, he says, to standing up for and defending unborn children who are amongst the most vulnerable in our society. Now, just a side note, that's the end of the representative statements, and we echo those, and I'm sure a lot of you do too. And I think one point he brought up there was very important, and it's a head-scratcher. He says, most Pennsylvanians recognize the dignity of every person, including the unborn, hoping at a minimum to reduce the number of abortions, not expand them. Well, it seems like a lot of pro-abortion people just don't want to have pro-life alternatives considered. They don't want the mother to even get the option, which is just mind-boggling. A lot of us don't understand that. And when we saw during the announcement of that law, the way the people just stood up and cheered, like you can cheer for having an abortion. Just heart-wrenching. Now, there are some issues that will deal with abortion at the state level, not over the general principled question for an up or down vote to overturn Roe versus Wade. I think we'll see more of that on the federal level, maybe, in the coming years with the court the way it is. But there are some issues to make progress at the state level. Now, the Pennsylvania House on Monday, this is from last year. I got ahead of myself there. Now, it's probably going to happen where a Down syndrome abortion bill will be brought up in the House or Senate. And what that does, it will prevent having abortions based solely on a prognosis of Down syndrome. And this is from an article that ran last year in The Hill about the progress of it. All right, here we go. The Pennsylvania House on Monday, this was last year, passed a bill to ban abortions based on a Down syndrome diagnosis in the fetus. The GOP-backed bill passed with a bipartisan support in a 139-56 vote. The bill now heads to the Senate for a vote. If it passes, it will face Democratic Governor Tom Wolf, who opposes the bill and would be expected to veto it. Wolf also vetoed a 20-week abortion ban in December. Ohio passed a similar bill on Down syndrome abortions last year, which GOP Governor John Kasich signed in December, making the state the third to have such a law. All right, I'm going down to the article here. The Pennsylvania bill bans abortions based on a prenatal diagnosis of or belief that the unborn child has Down syndrome. This is back, Mike Terzai again making an appearance. He sponsored this bill. Another member of the House argued it's an effort to prevent eugenics. Now, opponents of the bill say it's an infringement on reproductive rights and it would effectively result in a state-imposed pregnancy, yada, yada, yada. Pennsylvania state law currently allows for abortions for any reason except for gender of the fetus until 24 weeks. Now, there's some layers to that. One of them is that people can still get abortions for other reasons, but if they say or they find out, their doctor finds out that it's, hey, I'm sorry to mention it to you, but your child has been diagnosed with Down syndrome. From what I understand, the bill, and we're not sure how it will be introduced, would prevent the doctor or at least open him to charges, criminal charges, if he then tries to promote the woman getting an abortion because of that diagnosis. Also, real quickly, there is an issue in Pennsylvania where state public schools are taking away nurses for Catholic schools. Law, as far as we had seen it and had been interpreted, was that these Catholics, the public schools, were required to provide nurses for public schools, but I got it straight, trust me. But the public schools recently have said they reinterpreted the law, a lot of them, that say that they do not have to provide those nurses for the Catholic schools. We are trying to change that. It looks like, not sure how we're going to remedy that, but I will have more on that in our next episode next week. In the meantime, we're trying to see if legislators will propose some bill that would rectify that and keep those nurses in our Catholic schools and call for the public schools to provide for that. All right, that just about does it for our first 15 minutes of Catholic legislative talk. Coming up on the next end, we will talk with Representative Seth Grove.
This is Holy Family Radio Manager Dan Steele. I want to thank you for listening to Holy Family Radio podcasts and broadcasts, whether it's over the air at 720 on your AM dial or online streaming at 720whyf.com. We appreciate your involvement in Central Pennsylvania's only Catholic radio station. But I must share with you, if we are to keep our ministry growing in the Harrisburg Diocese, we really need your help. We are a totally listener-supported nonprofit 501c3, and I'm asking you to prayerfully consider donating any amount you can to help us continue our work in spreading God's Word. Please go to our website at 720whyf.com. Click on the donate button and follow the instructions. And thank you for helping to keep us on the air, and may God bless you.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for hanging with us. Al Ganoza here with the Catholic Legislative Talk. I'm with the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference, and we lobby in Harrisburg on issues that are important to the Catholic Church. We work for the bishops around the state. My boss in particular is Eric Failing. He is the executive director of the PCC, and he knows the ins and outs of what goes on at the Capitol. Now, you've heard of the expression, so-and-so knows where the bones are buried. Well, Eric even knows who buried them. In fact, Eric might have buried a few himself. Who knows? But he knows the ins and outs. Now, you may see him at the Capitol along with our Director of Education, Sean McAleer. He's a Philadelphia boy. Big strapping young man out of Philadelphia came to Harrisburg to help us out and help you out with educational issues. He Boy, he has a full menu, as does Eric. Sean, as we talked about, he has the EITC, is up there talking to people, talking to legislators. He also has the school nurse situation, school choice, which is part of the EITC, but several issues out there. And what we do is we go up and talk to legislators and say, we are up there, and the only reason we have any kind of leverage with these folks is because of you people out there. And you guys have got to stay up to date. And hopefully this radio program will keep you up to date on things. And as I mentioned before, I don't think you can underestimate this enough. I don't think you can overestimate. Sorry, I'm still new to this radio thing and just speaking off the cuff. You have to keep in touch with your legislators. Let them know you're out there. And if something really means something to you, let them know. We will try to help you do that. You can do it by seeing them, by calling them. We also have a function on our website. It is voter advocacy. If you go on there, you will see it right at the header. You can click on the right things and you can sign up. It doesn't take that long. And we will keep you abreast of what is going on and how we could use your help to reach out to your state senator or representative. And you don't have to find out who that is. You just click in your address. It will find out who that is. And whenever we have an issue, we will send out an alert to you. And then all you have to do is click a few buttons. It will find out who your rep is, who your senator is. We have the text of what it will say for a certain subject. If you don't want like that subject, you don't have to send it. But if it's important to you, all you have to do is click and send it, and it will go to them, and they will know that you are interested. And believe me, that means a lot when they know that constituents are out there and care enough to contact their representative or senator and let them know that they feel a certain way about an issue. And one of those legislators who is very good with his constituents, and he is a very good friend of ours. He is Seth Grove. He is out of York County. And back the middle of last month, around the 17th, I talked with him about his human trafficking bill. And just to reintroduce that quickly, that protects victims of human traffic. That was the Safe Harbor bill, but the human trafficking bill will go after the people who use their services, whereas before, they tend to get overlooked in any trafficking laws. So, once again, let's go back to a month. This is my interview with Seth Grove, representative from York County. And just because I enjoyed it so much the first time, I'm going to introduce him again. Hey, this is Representative Seth Grove, Republican out of the 196th District in York County. Representative, thanks for talking with us. We know we just covered you on the trafficking bill. You mm-hmm. put a lot of work into that, but congratulations on that, by the way.
Yeah, it's a good starting point. I can say that there's been some really good work here in Pennsylvania on that. I know the Trump administration is pushing it at the federal level. His daughter Ivanka has been pushing human trafficking from her position as a policy advisor. So it's good. It's finally getting the attention it does need. I can tell you, at least in the York County DA's Association, Dave has done a great job trying to, instead of just prosecuting people, trying to find actual trafficked individuals so they're not prosecuting. They can go after actually people forcing them into those positions. So I think the awareness is great, and hopefully with supportive organizations like the Pennsylvania Catholic Church Conference, we can move forward and get these changes done and really, really help individuals on a day-to-day basis.
Now, I would say you could sit back and rest after this, but you got a lot of other stuff going on, don't you?
Yeah, so this is kind of beginning a session. At this point, we have committee chairman. We don't have committees spots yet, so we're still waiting on allocation of what committees we're going to be on. First thing we kind of do swearing in as we get sworn in, then we do house rules, which dictates what we do and how we operate as a House of Representatives for the year. And we've actually, and I give a lot of credit to our new majority leader, Brian Cutler, some of the biggest changes we've seen in a number of years in the House as far as the operation. So a little more on the efficiency side, a little more on the transparency side. We've unfortunately had some cases of some of my colleagues being arrested and convicted while in office. So we changed some rules to try to expedite that a little sooner. Like previous rule says you could be a member until you're sentenced. So you're a convicted member and you're still serving here because you haven't been sentenced yet. We changed that to conviction. So once you're convicted, you can no longer be a member. We had a case of a member who was once you start in the criminal justice system, you can't be a committee chairman. But we had an individual who was a vice chairman, and the committee chairman was sick, so literally couldn't be. They were in cancer treatment and stuff. So the vice chairman was one who was in the process, was convicted, it was during appeals. So they haven't been sentenced yet. Was actually slated to be a chair of a committee. So we redid our rules a little bit. You could still do resolutions on the House floor. So we changed the ability for them to do resolutions on the House floor. So we tried to pare that back, and tried to focus on once you're convicted, you shouldn't be a House member anymore, and not wait until sentencing. So some good reforms there.
Well, I was going to say, it's hard to believe that these things didn't exist before. Like you could just fall through the cracks that, right?
Yeah, no one envisioned the whole committee structure. So you have a committee chairman that could pass away in office, could be in a car accident. Who knows what could happen? Just couldn't fulfill the duties of the chairmanship, and you have the next in line to take over the chair as someone who is facing court penalties in the criminal justice system. How do we, it's just something that's never come up before. So we had to address that.
Other things going on too.
Yeah, so we have workplace
sorry, I couldn't remember issue. What you told me,
yeah,
so I apologize.
Yeah, workplace harassment issue. So internally, so it's kind of unique. So we have employees and we have House members, elected officials, that interaction. So within the House of Representatives, we have protocols internally for employees. For House members, we updated our ethics committee to deal with that in a more responsive fashion moving forward. So I think we're taking that very seriously and did some good work in our House rules on workplace harassment as well. And I think it'll benefit this institution moving forward.
Do you hear a lot from your constituents? And I think people out of Philadelphia don't care. They just seem to, I shouldn't say that. I think around here, people are more scrutinized and are more in tune with the political process.
So I will tell you this. It has to do with people outside of the capital, Harrisburg capital region. And you are in news, so you may get this. Our local news cover what happens in Harrisburg because it's here, right? Mm-hmm. Harrisburg's here, so TV, newspapers, they cover what's in Harrisburg. The rest of the state doesn't.
Yeah.
They just don't cover Harrisburg news, and I don't know if it's members getting out there discussing it, or it's just whatever, we don't really care. So, and it's really interesting because when members are in town, they see the news, they watch the local news, and they're like, wow, how do you guys live with such media and public scrutiny on a day-to-day basis when you're doing stuff? So it is unique. It's good and bad. Like, it helps because I think we have very informed residents because the news covers it versus a lot of other places. If you remember back when the 2005 midnight pay raise happened, huge news in the Harrisburg region. So York, Lancaster, Philly, other areas, they just didn't really cover it. And the other fact is the cost of living's higher in Philly and those regions. So when those residents saw the pay increase, they're like, how do you live off that salary? Yeah. Then you have other places that, the per capita income might be like $35,000, and then it becomes a bigger area. But I mean, it's just, stuff's just not covered everywhere in the state. So, yeah. I mean, I'd say it's a blessing. I enjoy the fact that people are aware of what's happening. I think it's better, a more educated citizenry is just better for our constitutional republic moving forward. So I think it's a good thing.
And you're with the Taxpayer Caucus.
Yeah, so former state senator Scott Wagner was kind of right after Governor Wolf's kind of first budget, where we had a nine-month impasse, decided that it would be a good idea for Senate and House members get together and talk about the finances to try to prevent that from happening, and try to find ways to fund government without having always to go back to the taxpayer, try to create efficiencies and try to make sure that we're spending money the best way we can on behalf of the taxpayer. So, he came to me, he's like, you want to start a bicameral taxpayers caucus? I said, absolutely. I think it's a great idea to have more interaction between the House and Senate. We started it. good number of members. We bring speakers in to talk about financial stuff. You know, a lot of it was financial education, kind of what's really happening behind the numbers. And we were pretty successful about removing a lot of taxes. The governor proposed billions of dollars of taxes over his tenure. Very few of them actually got passed into law. So we were pretty successful at holding back a lot of taxes. And it's been well received. And we put out a report at one point highlighting about $3 billion of savings and some other policies to grow our economy. And obviously when your economy grows, you get more tax revenue. So all in all, it's been pretty successful. So I'm really pleased with that.
And Senator Wagner won't be there now. Right?
Yeah, so we need to find a Senate kind of champion, a chair of that. So we're currently working on that to find a chair and get back to working hard for the taxpayers.
Is there going to be a lot of new members in there now? Is that going to be difficult?
Yeah, we got a lot of new members on both sides of the aisle in the House. I think it's roughly about 40, right around 40 new members. So it's a lot of education to them. They have to, luckily, we only have to know 40 new people. They have to know, 203, so 263 new people.
Yeah.
Just House members plus staff and everybody else that comes in here, media and so forth. So it's a lot for them to take in, process, finding bathrooms, that kind of stuff. So it's and I think we have a great group of new members, both sides. They're interested, they're engaged, and I think they're really good leaders, and I look forward to working with them.
Okay. Representative, anything else you want to add? I mean, I appreciate your time. I know you're a busy man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And again, really thank the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference for your advocacy and help, particularly with the human trafficking. It's a horrific crime, and the more we can advocate, the more we can do. Hopefully we can stamp it out. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. It's our honor.